Our scripture reading this evening is Psalm 8. The passage is printed on page 9 of your bulletin. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, and out of the mouth of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field and the birds in the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The word of the Lord.
Good afternoon. It is it's so good to be back. I am middle management, but I'm also a minister. Not that that's self-important. Just I'm more than just that. You know, I'm a pastor, so I'm glad to be here with you. If you are new to Trinity, come back next week or the week after, because the regular pastor will be here. But I love to be with you guys. Psalm 8, and I'm going to jump right in. Psalm 8. Is this great celebratory thing of the privileged place of the dignity of man as God's creation. And let's pray and ask that the Lord would convince us of that in our time together. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have crowned people with glory and honor. Out of your deep love, capture us by that beauty, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Kids, I'm going to do the Brian Davis thing for just a second. I want you to listen for sailboats. I want you to listen for sailboats again with stars, and I want you to listen for broken ankles on soccer fields, okay? Anytime I get up here, I'm going to start talking about sailing. It's just the thing that runs in my vein. There's this crazy class of just luxury yacht sailboats called Perini Navis. I don't know if any of you own one. If you do, let's talk and be friends. They're large and they're beautiful. They're kind of like some of the best yachts in the world, sailing vessels. And when you see one, there are two thoughts that always go through your mind, right? When you see a Perini Navi, the thing that goes through your mind is, that thing is amazing, and who built that thing? So I'm going to take you back in time. My mom used to live on the coast of South Carolina, and south of Myrtle, right around Litchfield. And we went south to Georgetown one day, and we pulled into this little thing to buy some seafood, and standing at this wharf is this 143-foot sailing yacht. And it's Perini Navis are oftentimes, they make them in this deep navy. And you know what they are because they're like these long, sleek sailing vessels. And when you look at them from above, they have wooden decks with long, thin lines running down them. And there are always two thoughts when you see one of these boats. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, right? There are two things in my, that is gorgeous. And that's a Perini Navi. And that whole thing of like two thoughts when you see that kind of boat is a picture of what God says about human beings. Psalm 8 is a celebration that runs along two dual thought tracks, but it's one big idea. You ready? Whenever you see a human being crazy creatively, that's the way they're made. There are two things that run through your mind. One is, that's amazing. And the one who made that thing is excellent, okay? Like, that's an interesting thought. I was reading an article by David Brooks in the New York Times this week, and he's basically talking about how Gen Z will look at the world. And he says, look, there's some sort of hard-to-define spiritual crisis along the land, which shows up in rising depression rates, rising mental health problems. A survey that the Pew Research Center released last year captures the mood. Pew asked people to describe the things that bring meaning to their lives, and a shocking number of respondents described lives of quiet despair. that I no longer find much of anything. This is one person meaningful, fulfilling, or satisfying. Whatever used to keep me going is gone. I'm currently struggling to find any motivation to keep going. I don't feel very satisfied in my life. One person said, drugs and alcohol are the shining rays of light in my otherwise unbearable existence. I think the question that rises up is like, what is the value of human beings? What is your value? And Psalm 8 is this great worship, hymn, celebration of the people of God that practices this big thought, okay? The big thought is this, is that your creative ability as a creature of God speaks to both the amazing nature of who you are and the excellence of who God is. Let me put it another way. People and their ability to shape the world and to change it, even though they're made of dust, are crazy, beautiful, creative beings that have been given that mark by the dignity and excellence of God who crowns them that way. Let me put it another way, okay? Is that your ability to shape things in big ways and small ways tells the story of actually both how amazing you are and how amazing God is. That's the way this psalm reads. Now look, I'm gonna do this. Let me walk you through this psalm just briefly. It starts and ends with this one phrase, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That language is like, hey, it's our God. So this is the people of God singing a song in worship together. They're saying, God, we own you and you own us. You're our God. And this is what we know about you. You're amazing. You know how we know you're amazing? It's because how he made you. You know, one of the ways in which God shows his magnificence and his excellence and how crazy good he is? Because you look in the mirror. Whenever you see people doing creative, building, shaping things, these two things come into your mind. Man, that's beautiful. That must be a Perini Navi. Man, that is beautiful. That is the work and handiwork of God. And so he starts and he says this thing. He goes from this, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How do we know that? It's this. So he looks in verse 2 is a little interesting. He goes from the high and the low, right? He says, you've set your glory above the heavens. So the heavens describe the glory of God. They proclaim how excellent God is, but also out of the mouth of babies. And this phrase is a little interesting. He says, out of the mouths of babes and infants, you've established strength. That's actually the idea of a song of strength that people sing to still the enemy and the avenger. And here's what he's saying, that from the heights of the heavens and from the weakest of the mouths of children, the magnificence of God is brought forth. We can talk a little bit more about that. But he goes from there and he sets up this idea. And the big idea, right, is that you are a crowned person with creative dignity. And you display God's excellence in just by virtue of the way you're made. And he looks and he says, now verse 3 is really good. He says, when I consider the heavens and the stars, right? When I look up and consider the work of your fingers and the moon and the stars which you've set in place, here's what he does. He looks up and he's already said that God has set his glory above the heavens. And then he goes out back in the middle of the night. That picture is the night, right? He says, when I look up in the night sky and I see how far the stars are away, it makes me wonder. So, again, one of the things I get to do is every year I get to sail and I go to the Caribbean and I take some people with me. And it's kind of one of these fun things that's life-giving. You've heard me talk about this. But we go to this place called the North Sound, and the hurricane that came through there 2 years ago devastated everything on the island. So there's no lights and there's no electricity. And so we pulled up in that cut last year. And you get in the Caribbean night sky and you look up and you just see how vast it is. And you see the Milky Way And I, you know, you've heard all the stuff like how far it takes for that light from that star to get here, how amazing it makes you think, oh God, how vast this thing is. When you think how vast the created order is, that's what he's getting at. I'll give you another picture. When I was in college, I worked at this marine biology lab, more boats and more water. We went off the North Carolina coast and we took this motorboat out. It was a larger vessel, about 24 miles to the edge of the continental shelf. And we got out past the edge of the shelf. We were about 6,000 feet of water. And the captain looked at us and said, y'all want to go swim? We're like, yeah. So he says, go ahead, jump out. So you jump out in the middle of the ocean, 24 miles from land. And you're like, 6,000 feet below me. What's down there, right? And the sky all above you and nothing but ocean. And all of a sudden you begin to feel like, whoop. Lord, when I consider how vast the creative thing is and how that displays your glory, he looks and says, what's man that you're mindful of him and the son of man that you care for him? Now look, that is not a question as to whether or not God cares. Right? You could read that and be like, puny man, what is he in light of all the glory that you would care for him? I don't think that's the tone that the psalmist is taking. I think this tone that the psalmist is taking is this. When he says the Son of Man, he's talking about his mortality. So he looks and says, I've seen all this glory and all this vastness in the middle of that. What is the value of man? I know you take notice of him. I know you care for him. What's the value of this man who is dust? What is his value? It's a setup. Where does he fit? The intent of the psalm is not to ask and doubt whether or not God cares. It's rhetorical. What is it? And look, there are other sermons that will talk about the intimacy and the kindness and the care of God. But the psalmist looks and he says, in the midst of all of this glorious stuff, what is man? Where do you fit? In all the glorious creative vastness, where do you place? What's your value? You know what it is? And this is where he lands you in verse 5. He says, you, O God, have made man a little lower than the heavenly beings, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Listen to the physical way he describes the difference. Up above, he said, God has set his glory above the stars and heavens. You know where God has set his glory? It is on you. Literally, the thing says, you have made him a little lower than God, angels. And you have crowned man, you by nature of your creative place in bringing him into being, you have dignified him with glory and honor. You have crowned him with this amazing thing. And you know how it shows itself? He goes back to Genesis 1 and the kind of mandate to rule and subdue the earth and to multiply and to be fruitful and to create and to go out, right? He says in verses 6 and 7, this language, this idea of dominion, you've given him dominion over the works of your hands and you've put all things under his feet and all the sheep and the ox and the beast in the field and the birds of the heaven, whatever passes along the field. He trips upon himself in all this language of saying, you want to know the value of him? It's that you have been given a privileged place in the created order by being made with a creative dignity yourself. What's the value? So you ask that question again. What's your value? See your primary privileged place. Look, everybody is trying to get after this and echo this, right? The Pass It On campaign, right? I don't even know who's behind it. I don't think anybody knows who's behind it, right? Those billboards with night sayings about the virtues of mankind. You know what it's after? It's after that idea of our dignity. Why are there so many awards? ESPYs and Tonys and Oscars and, you know, name them out. Why? Because there's this echo of people trying to get to the notion that people are valuable and have dignity by who they are. But the unique way that the Judeo-Christian, and later in the Bible as it talks about Jesus, the Christian way is that you are given creative glory. Now look, stop and let's just have fun with this for a second. I did. Just take a minute. When you, with your financial mind, go find a creative startup idea and you gather some capital from kind of financiers and you kind of start something up, you are displaying the creative glory of God. There are two thoughts that come into mind. That's amazing, and that's God's work. And when you see the guy when you're doing drywall work in your house who is on those stilts and is walking around the room and can tape and mud so that there's not a seam to be seen, there are two thoughts in mind. When you create code or you create a spreadsheet that gives the algorithm for the insurance company that you work for to know how to kind of evaluate premiums, that is two things. It is the psalm being displayed. That's amazing, and God is excellent. When you get clothes washed and folded and put away, there are two things that are yelled just like the psalm. God's creative glory, and he is unbelievable. Let's get into the weeds a little bit more. And I'll speak to kind of people 18 and below, right? When you choreograph a dance for your school thing and you teach other people how to do it, there are two thoughts in mind. When you create and paint a Beatles logo on the back of a jacket, there are two crazy thoughts in mind that come glaring. When you step out and run 7 miles in the morning and you get into that groove and it feels awesome, there are two thoughts in mind. When you do a Maradona on the soccer field and you leave kids with broken ankles as you go by them towards the goal, there are two thoughts in mind. That is amazing, and it displays the excellence of God in the middle of it. Do you get it? We're gonna practice this in a few moments at the end of the service. If you have kids, you're gonna send your 3 to 5 year old up here and they're gonna give clangy things and cymbals and tambourines and all kinds of stuff, and we're gonna let them loose. And you know what we're doing? We are practicing what this hymn says. That's amazing. And the Creator is unbelievable. I'm going to go here just for a sec. My 16-year-old, and I didn't tell her I was going to do this. I should have told you this. But my 16-year-old, and this is fun, she is a chip off the old block. She got her dad's sarcasm. This is what's funny. I'm not being mean to her. There is a creative moment now where my daughter has got this ability in that right moment when she's kind of talking to me and she knows I'm being goofy or stupid or angry or out of control, and she just drops that creative kind of velvet hand grenade out there that's a little bit of sarcasm. There is a moment where you have to say, this is Psalm 8. That is creative genius, and God is unbelievable. Look, I think this actually pushes against, both culturally and sometimes within the Christian church, the idea that it's only a value if it's done excellently. The psalmist does not look and say, now look, this is not do things mediocre, that's not my point. But it doesn't qualify in this. Human beings who have been granted dignity are crazy, creative, beautiful creatures that display the glory and honor of God and have been given glory and honor and dignity, and they speak to the excellence of who God is. Look, it's not just kind of what you do. You know, it's sometimes the dominion thing that is being spoken about here is this way relationships come. How does this work? The reason why I like that it's not just a matter of excellence, but it is the dignity that God imprints upon people is this. Because as the world talks about value and worth, it comes in very narrow slots and a certain amount of currency. But I'll tell you what, I look at my friend Liz Regal in college, whose parents had a child late in life who had Down syndrome, who by the world standards, quote unquote, doesn't bring a lot of value. But according to God and the goodness of Jesus, when that child who knew how to give affection in an undaunted, free way that all of us self-conscious people would never do, it says two things. That is creative glory, and God is absolutely amazing. How about to the aging who have lost their step? Where is your worth? You have been crowned with glory and honor. I think it speaks also a death blow to the cultural moment that the only thing that is worth our time is the thing that goes viral and makes us famous. It's not true. The long obedience in the same direction of kind of pulling weeds and doing the thing and making the bed and getting up is the thing that reflects your privileged, good, kind place. Now look, if you're sitting here, there has to be another thought in your head, okay? There's gotta be another thought in your head. And that thought is this: what? Are you crazy? And here's why. You wanna know about my day yesterday? Here's my day yesterday. Dominion? Glory? My oven has been on the fritz for months. I have tried to fix it and rigged it and banged on it, and we are finally gonna go out and buy one, right? Dominion and glory and subduing the earth and all that. So we're like up and we're online and we're looking, and we find one and then we can't find one and it's too expensive. And then I find another one, Paige found, and then I go online and I order it and my credit card gets canceled. Now I gotta call the credit card department and make that thing, cancel that order, order it again, call someplace across seas to the telemarketing thing. Does it work? It's not gonna work. You gotta wait 2 hours. Frustrated, thorns and thistles. Finally go out to the Sears outlet because we get it worked out and it's the wrong one. Glory and honor. Right, there's no way if you have half a shred of common sense that you sit here and don't think, wait, that doesn't always work. How is man crowned with glory, honor, subduing the earth in such a good way? When you look at the movie Slumdog Millionaire, or you look at the news, how is the creative glory and dignity of man on a trash heap in India with 9 little kids trying to pick trash? What did people do with that? That's glory and honor. Creative glory and brilliance that reflects God's excellence. Go to the Pacific Ocean. Mankind in all his creative dignity has taken and created 40-mile trash heaps in the ocean with bottles and trash. In a weird way, we have taken this creative thing and figured out how to murder and do genocide and rape and pillage and burn and slaughter and abuse. Like, if you have any sense of honesty with who you are, right, it's like, hold on, what happened to that? Thorns and thistles are small ways as well, right? I mean, you know what it looks like. This is not white guilt. Don't feel white guilt. This is a room of fairly white, affluent, suburban people who have good college degrees, who have gone home and wonder whether or not getting up and doing the mundane of dishes and laundry and lawns and edging is, that's dignity. That's the thing that pops into our brains. Right there, we ask that question because please hear this rightly. Like, part of the thing of like white middle-aged man, of which I'm one, is this thing like who are now kind of on this, it's not a good thing to necessarily be a white middle-aged man in cultural America today. Even though we have still power and privilege, I do understand that. But there's a lot of guilt by association. There's connection of like, what is your worth at this point? But it's like, it's bamboo. I'll go there. I'm fighting bamboo in my backyard and it's winning. Where's the dignity and glory? Which leads you to the one of the reasons that God entered into the mess as the person of Jesus. I mean, it is one of the reasons he took on flesh in human form, not just to bring us forgiveness, but also to redeem the dominion for human beings that he made as the pinnacle of God's glory. Look, that's why, that's part of the beauty of Jesus coming into the world, right? And calming storms. And healing sick. And being a carpenter for a long time and building bookshelves and desks. It's part of the beauty of him developing friendships and cooking fish on a coal fire. It's where Hebrews picks up. If you look at Hebrews 2, and don't turn there, listen, it says, "For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It's been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. But at present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him for who a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor, because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." Part of the purpose of why Jesus has come is to restore the dignity of the diminutive, creative glory and goodness of man. Look, you may be here this afternoon trying to figure out what you think of Jesus and what you think of yourself. And I want you to hear that the Bible looks at you and says, singing in hymn form, by virtue of you being here, made and breathing and living and creative, there are two thoughts that are radiating from who you are. That is, you are amazingly made, crowned with glory, and your life speaks to the excellence and magnificence of the God who made you. Now, what do we do? Look, it's funny. I'm going to start by saying there's not a command. It's a song, right? There's no command for us in this thing. It's just part of what God gives you. He gives you purpose and dignity. He crowns you with glory and honor. You're God's creative crowned presence. You came downloaded as valuable, glorious by nature of being made in his image. Sit in that for a minute and sit in that for a lifetime. But part of why I love this as a psalm and a psalm of worship is because it's part of the rhythm and the formative rhythm of the people of God in their life. Russ Whitfield is this pastor in Washington, and he was we were together at a conference this January, and he just said, as an actor, he was working one day, and the director was like, "Stop, stop, stop. Y'all aren't getting into the script." And he said, "You've got to get into the script so that the script can get into you." And part of what we do is this, is that we get into the storyline of the way the Bible describes us so that that storyline gets into us. I do think there's a place for us to practice this when dominion doesn't seem to work. When we begin to doubt what our value and what the value of our working and our doing and our creative thinking is, we pick up the psalm and we speak the words of God through the redeemed goodness of Jesus into who we are. I think it also helps us examine the storylines we listen to of who is valuable and who reflects the glory of God and his excellence. Look, I know a lot of you are plagued by self-doubt and self-shame and self-hatred and self-loathing. And there is a storyline that is better. It's the story of the way God crowns you with honor and glory by virtue of his creative goodness to you and his redeemed goodness to you in Jesus. But I think it also helps us re-narrate the storyline we think of others. who are less educated, we're less where we are, right? The Bible helps us look and say, this is what God thinks of mankind. And the last thing is this. I think that what we do through this psalm is we do that two-line thought as we go about kind of living, breathing, seeing, creative. Man, I loved seeing that boat. I came around the corner and saw that 140-foot Navy thing and went, that is unbelievable. That has got to be a Brini Navi. What is your value? You are crowned with glory and honor. And that reflects the excellence and magnificence of who God is. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this goodness. Lord, how magnificent is your name in all the earth. And one of the things that is astounding that just shuts our mouths is that the way you've displayed your excellence is by the privileged place you've put us. Help us, O Lord, to rejoice in that, to live in that, and to find value and glory in that. Help us to practice that, we ask, as we go into the week. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.